Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Paul never strayed from the message of the crucified Christ's centrality to the gospel. He was indeed a champion of declaring that work which Christ performed as being the beginning and the end of the redemption of the Lord's people. There is no clearer statement of this truth found anywhere in the Scriptures than in the Epistle to the Hebrews. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is the end of all argument about what Christ did and the extent to which he did it. The book of Hebrews begins with an unequivocal statement of the finality of God's purpose in the sending of his only begotten Son. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Paul often alluded to the patriarchs and the history of God's dealing with Israel whenever he preached the gospel. Yet he never failed to declare that Christ was the very basis of the hope of Israel. So he uses the example of all those who died in faith in order to stir up his hearers to hold on to that truth which is the very substance of their profession. He is not doubting their desire to be steadfast, yet his exhortation and his admonitions are strong nonetheless. For as he said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He identifies those to whom his words are addressed as those who will not turn aside from that confession which they have made. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Much of Paul's emphasis throughout his writings is the declaration of God's sovereign choice of a people in Christ from before the foundation of the world. This is a much maligned and hated doctrine by the rank and file of those who profess to be the followers of Christ in the present day, but has in times past been a most widely recognized truth. Some think that it is possible for a man to move in and out of faith according to the whims of his flesh. This gives rise to the notion that a man can be saved and then lost, perhaps numerous times, according to his obedience, devotion, and faith. Paul defines quite clearly that there is a demarcation between those that are of the flesh and those that are of the Spirit. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." This is what the Lord told Nicodemus of when he taught him the necessity of being born again, or born from above. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." A doctrine that is popular in some circles is often defined as once saved, always saved. Now this doctrine arises out of the basic truth of God's preservation of his people. But it is an errant doctrine in the hands of those who teach that a man can obtain this salvation by an act of his free will, rather than the sovereign grace of God bestowing faith upon his elect. Thus we see many who bring forth no evidence of the operation of faith, nonetheless assured of their eternal bliss because they have made a decision for Christ, led him into their hearts, or been baptized and or joined the church. Paul declares that he is only encouraged by the evidence which he sees in these believers among the Hebrews, as he speaks of observing in them the things that accompany salvation. So what are those things which accompany salvation? Clearly the first is faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This faith is not a feeling nor an act of the will, but is a gift bestowed by him who is its author and finisher. Secondly, there is hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Hope is the result of the Spirit's calling. "Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Finally, there is love. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Are these things in you?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.